It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Romans, and we're going to be in the 14th chapter, and we're going to begin reading in verse 8. So verse 8 of chapter 14 of Romans. And so while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks of Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street, just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, it's 217-847-2717. If you would like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org, and that's parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to send us an email, it'd be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. And on our website, we've got many good studies. I hope that you can enjoy those and receive a blessing. Come to know the Lord Jesus if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so that was hopefully enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Romans chapter 14, beginning to read with verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why doth thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with meat, now walkest thou not charitable? Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us, therefore, follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for a man who eateth with offense. And we're going to stop there and begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come. We can enjoy this precious time. It's such a joy, Lord, to come and just fellowship together with you and to study your precious word. And it all begins, of course, with the personal relationship that I have and enjoy with your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, Jesus died on the cross to save every lost soul. And I thank and praise you for your Spirit as he has come, convicted my heart, shown me that I was lost, shown me that I need a Savior, and gave me the opportunity to be saved. And I ask, Father, that that opportunity be given, and I know it is given to everyone. Let's just see that we don't reject that opportunity. So please, dear Lord, just take your precious word today and touch every heart. Help us to know you as our Savior, be saved, be born again, and then to grow and enjoy that precious fellowship. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at these precious words, and as we have looked in the past and enjoyed this study, we realize that I have been set free from the bondage of days, as the scripture talked about earlier in this chapter. In other words, I can praise my God, and I do every day. I can worship and come together with other believers on Saturday or Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. It doesn't matter. We choose to do it on Sunday. We come together again on Wednesday. And we have a wonderful time in fellowship. And we have a ladies' Bible study on Tuesday afternoon. We love, enjoy, and enjoy the study of the Word of God and the fellowship that we have together. And so it is so very important that we enjoy this time and we fellowship together. And so please that you will not miss that time. We have a liberty that we can eat meat, we can worship on any certain day, and we need to see that we are not causing a brother to stumble. Now, I made it very clear there, a brother to stumble. If you have someone that is born again, a brother or sister in Christ that's born again, and they don't understand why that we don't go to church on Saturday, on the Sabbath, as the Jews were commanded to, or they don't, and if you'll really study the scripture, you'll realize they were not commanded to go to church on the Sabbath, on Saturday. They were commanded to rest on the Sabbath, Saturday. Not to go to church, but to rest and to fellowship with the Lord in their homes, with their families. That's what they were to do. That's what they were commanded to do. To do no servile work, they called it. You were to come and just to rest on the Sabbath day. Well, we come together on Sunday to praise Him and to honor Him because He rose from the dead on Sunday, the first day of the week. And He should enjoy and possess our firsts, the first fruits, the first day, all these things. We are not commanded to do that. We're not under the law to do it, but we desire to do it because He has saved us. What we find in these verses of Scripture is that we have a liberty to do that. We have a liberty, and as the other circumstances, and we talked about it in what we've read here a little bit, but it was the meat. The meat was a big thing, because what they would do, they would go and purchase the meat that was offered to some other sacrifice, some cult. They would go buy that meat. Two reasons. Number one, normally it was pretty reasonable. And the other thing was, it was good, because they too would take their best to their idols, to these cults. They would take their best, and so when the priest of the cult or the leaders of the cult did not require all the meat, they would sell it for profit. And in doing so, why, a lot of Christians, born-again believers, would go buy it, because it's good meat, good to eat, nothing wrong with it whatsoever. The problem is that when it comes to the days or comes to the meat here, a young believer would watch you go to that market, and he knew that that's where the meat that was sold off of this cult from the offerings and the sacrifices that they were giving to them, and they couldn't understand that. It just did not make sense to them that why would you buy that meat? Or is there something special about that meat? So you see, when that would take place, then it would put doubt and question in that young believer's life. Now, I want you to really understand that we're to help a young believer to grow. We are not to be, and that's what this section of Scripture is all about. We're not to be a stumbling block. But we should take our time. In other words, we just don't, because we have the liberty, because we have the opportunity, you don't just do it when you know that there is a brother or sister over there that is stumbling, is questioning what you're doing. And so it's our responsibility to take them and to teach them and to grow them into that same liberty that you and I have. But as a young believer, someone that has never been taught, it's a stumbling block to them, and we are not to be that stumbling block. And so this is what this section of Scripture is all about. Yes, we have the liberty, but don't abuse that liberty if it causes a young believer, someone that is weak in the faith, that's just been saved and doesn't know, don't cause them to stumble. So be careful. So, yes, it's a liberty that we can do it. It's kind of like, you know, having the freedom of speech. You know, I can say anything that I want to say about anybody anywhere. I have that liberty. But why would I want to do that when I knew it hurt someone? I don't want to, I'm sure that from time to time I do, but I don't intend to. But understand that this is talking about believers. So you see, I even do that with the lost. I don't want to hurt them. I want to win them for Christ. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, I'm not going to use some slang or some language or say something that's going to upset you. I'm going to give you the truth. And when you hear the truth from the Word of God, and that's concerning marriage and concerning the homosexuals and concerning all those things, the drugs that people abuse and misuse, I'm not going to back off of that. He said, well, you're going to cause somebody to stumble. You've got to be saved before you can stumble. And majority, almost all of those that are upset are lost. If you're upset with me for the stand I make concerning the homosexuals, because, you know, and the abortion, it's a murder. And you say, oh, it's a woman's right. No, it isn't. It's no one's right to murder a child. And a child is from conception on. There's no question about that. Now, you say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, that's your opportunity. You can disagree if you like. But you will be judged. And we're going to get into that here in just a little bit, because there are two different judgments, one for the saved and one for the lost. And we're going to look at that here in just a little bit. But please understand that I'm going to stand on the truth. But there are some things that we have a liberty that we can do if we choose to. But if it causes a believer to stumble, then it's a problem. And so I hope that I've gotten that point, and I've probably beat that point in the ground. But I wanted you to understand that, those things there. And so now, as we come through these verses of Scripture, and we're going to read as we kind of got to verse 9 here. It says, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Those that have died in Christ he is the Lord of. Those that are alive he is the Lord of. And yes, without question. And this word revived here is to live again. That's what that's all about. And so, for to this end, Christ both died and rose and lived again, if you would change that word revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. And so it's so important that we know the Lord Jesus Christ as a believer and walk with him. But why doth thou judge thy brother? This is verse 10 of chapter 14 of Romans. Or why doth thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. We look at these verses of Scripture. Judgment is not set by individual opinion. In other words, my opinion, your opinion. But at the judgment seat. At the judgment seat of Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. verse 11. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. See, you need to be born again. You need to lay that foundation and then begin to build on it from there. And so, again, this judgment seat of Christ is what we're talking about, because that is the judgment of the believer. So once again, for other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Trust in Jesus. Be born again. Lay that foundation, then we'll begin to build. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. For if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, ye know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And it kind of continues from there. But backing up, I need you to see, this is not talking about that's about a lost person. This is talking about believers. That's the problem. You have to rightly divide the Word of God. It's very simply done, but you must be born again to do that. You must be saved. You must come by faith to Jesus. Don't believe that just because you're a church member and you've been baptized and joined that church that's it, because you are lost. It's a personal relationship that you need with Jesus. Personal relationship. I don't have a religion that I belong to. I have a relationship with my living God, Jesus Christ. That's what I have. A living relationship. He is born again. He has borned me because he died on the cross. He has given me life because I have believed by faith in him. He has risen from the dead. He gives me life. He has taken my sin away. All my sin was laid, as well as everyone's sin was laid upon the shoulders of Jesus when he died. And he died and took all those sins away. But you have to receive that free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Accept that gift. Come by faith to him and be born again. Once you're born again, you've laid that foundation that verse 11 is talking about. And so now we begin to build. And as we build, why, we do many things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to his honor and glory. Well, those things will be gold and silver and precious stones. But then there's going to be a lot of things that every one of us will do that is not to his honor and glory. We do them for self. We do them because I want to be honored. I want to be respected. I'm kind of prideful. And so as we look at all these things, we need to see and understand and recognize that there is a judgment coming. And everything that we do, not for the glory of God, for myself, for prideful self, for prideful gain, anything that I do in that manner will be burned up, the Scripture says. Now, it's not talking about my salvation. I'm saved. Saved so as by fire, the end of verse 15 says. But those things that we do, they're going to be revealed by fire. We know that gold and silver and precious stones are purified by fire. We also know that wood, hay, and stubble are consumed by fire. A little pile of ashes is all that's left, instead of something that is fine and purified. Well, it's going to be purified by fire. It says, every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. So you got to be born again first, and then you continue from there. So rewards according to works, Redemption is by grace, pure grace, without works. We're not talking about works. If everything you have is wood, hay, and stubble, you're still saved. It's going to be a sad day, but you're still going to be saved. But the rewards are according to our works, according to our service, according to what we do to praise and honor and glorify and advance the kingdom of God. Very important. Many people get saved and do nothing. Oh, what a sad, sad day. A sad day that is. You must be born again. You must come by faith to Jesus, and you need to serve him and enjoy it. I mean, it's wonderful to serve him. It's wonderful to praise his name each and every day. So please, look to Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then begin that service, because now, for the first time, you have that precious foundation. Look at verse 11 now. For it is written, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." We're going to move back here to Isaiah 45:3, because that's what he's talking about. That's what Paul is quoting, is Isaiah 45, verse 23. "I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall return, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear or confess." So you see, it's a quote from Isaiah 45:23. And so when we look back here to the book of Romans, I've got to turn back there. Romans chapter 14, we're reading from the 11th verse. "For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess." As I live, as surely as there is a God, is what really Paul is saying there. As surely as there is a God. Now, let's look to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the 10th verse. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according as that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So you see, as we read this verse of Scripture, it is exactly what we talked about back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15. You lay the foundation, and then you do the work. And we will all appear, every born-again believer, not the lost people. There's two judgments. All will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And we've got the marriage supper of the Lamb that's going to take place during the 7 years of tribulation. We're in the church age right now. The church is going to be taken out of here, raptured back home, and we will receive and have our glorified bodies. We will receive our rewards. But the lost, now that judgment is going to take place another 1,000 years later. Another 1,000 years later, it's going to be after the millennial reign of Christ. And so with this in mind, and you might hold your hand there at 2 Corinthians 5:10, let's go back to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, beginning with verse 11. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death, hell, delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. How do you get your name written in the book of life, my friend? You must be born again. Why so many places, so many churches have stopped preaching the gospel? Stop telling people how to be born again. Stop talking to them. You must be saved. Jesus died on the cross to save you. Please trust in him today. You must have that personal relationship with him today. You see, most have stopped preaching that, or in many cases, it's been so many years, they don't remember ever telling people how to be saved. They have been convinced in a universal salvation. Well, if it's in a universal salvation, what are these words doing in the scripture? What are they doing there? If there's not some that's going to go to hell and some go to heaven, what's that say? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. There's going to be multitudes cast in the lake of fire because their name was not written down in the Lamb's book of life. How do you get your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Come by faith to Jesus. Trust in him. Call upon him. And you will be saved, born again. And your name will be recorded in the Lamb's book of life. You must do that. What happens here, and this is, again, at the end of the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. We're in the church age now, 7 years of tribulation coming. Close of that seven-year tribulation will be a thousand-year reign. Close of that thousand-year reign is when this will take place. This will take place. Why is this saved judged earlier and the lost judged approximately 1,007 years later? It's because this little word up here, books. Now you see, the book was opened. That's the book of life. Because it's, if you're saved and recorded in there, then the books will never be opened. But the book is the Lamb's book of life. That's what it's talking about. And I saw, verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books. See, if you don't know Jesus, so it's telling us that there's a multitude of people that do not know Jesus, and they're going to be judged out of those volumes and volumes of books, all the things you have done. And again, why it's going to be at the end, at the very, very end, because you are going to be accountable not only for everything you have done, but you're going to be accountable for everyone that, say you led your son astray. You didn't bring him to church. You didn't tell him about Jesus, so he didn't get saved. So he didn't win his children to the Lord Jesus. So he didn't win his children, and it keeps going. And every generation that you're responsible for, everyone that was not born again or rejected that precious gospel because of you, you will be held accountable. And one thing that's going to crank up the fires in hell is going to be every time you've heard the gospel. And today, how many times have you heard me say, you must be born again? You must come by faith to Jesus. You will be reminded of every time you heard me and any other preacher tell you, you must be born again. And that's going to haunt you. The fires of hell is going to burn for eternity. And yet, God is standing here with the free gift of salvation, Will you please accept him as your Savior and be born again? Please. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?